So today we have less time because it's Rosh Chodesh. Try to give you just something we can walk away with, take with us into Shabbos from the Parsha. The Parsha opens up with the words, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the countings of the Mishkan. And then it says, Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan of testimony, Asher Puka Dalpi Meisha, which was counted or enumerated by virtue of Meisha. So that's how the Parsha opens. And this is a mimer that the Rebbe delivered in 1970, Parshas Pekudei, Tav Shalamet. V'yadu ha'diyuk, Mashakos of HaMishkan, Mishkan Beis Pamim. So the famous diyuk is that when we analyze these words carefully, we see that the words Mishkan show up twice. It says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the countings of the Mishkan. Mishkan Ha'edos, the Mishkan of testimony. We really could have said, Eile Pekudei Mishkan Ha'edos. It didn't have to say the word Mishkan twice. So this is a famous question, and it's asked by just about everybody from Rashi onward. And all the commentaries quote different teachings from our sages. And here, we set out to understand this from a mystical perspective. What is the lesson for us? Apichsidus. And the other interesting thing is that the first time it says Mishkan, and the second time it calls it Mishkan Ha'edos. Then there's a whole bunch of other questions that I'm going to skip straight over and go straight into the Nekuda Sabir. So the Nekuda, the kernel of explanation for this whole business, as it's explained in Chassidus, is as follows. And this is based on what the Alter Rebbe says in Likutei Torah. Now, the word Mishkan, the term Mishkan, what does it come from? What does it mean, Mishkan? We translate it as sanctuary. What does it mean, though? If you break this word down to its organic essence, what does the word Mishkan mean?
To settle?
No. It means, why does it mean to settle? Lashevet is to settle. A yishuv is a settlement. What does it mean? Huh? Comes from the word Shechina. What is Shechina? Shechina is the presence. The presence of God. So what is a Mishkan? Mishkan is the place where we have Hashra'as HaShechina, where God's presence rests. That's the meaning of Mishkan. So Migdash, which is what the Beis HaMikdash is called later, is a holy home, or a designated home, or a sanctified home. Another word for Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaBechira, the chosen home. But the original term for this notion that God has a locale, a place in which his presence is Mishkan. And it actually makes sense. The Mishkan is an apt description of what this is. It's a place where the Shechina resides. It's a mokim for Hashra'as HaShechina. And that's why when the Torah describes this mitzvah, it doesn't say Va'asuli Mishkan. It says Va'asuli Migdash. It uses the name which we invoke for posterity, because it's not just a mitzvah for Moshe Rabbeinu, or for the Jewish people in the desert. It's a mitzvah for all time, especially in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. And this is the great mitzvah that we hope to be fulfilling very soon with the coming of Mashiach. But it says, V'asuli Migdash, and what will happen? It doesn't say, V'yashavti b'seicha, I'll sit in it. It says, V'shachanti b'seicha. Because God doesn't have any corporeality, chas v'shalom. So we can't have God sitting. Sitting is a corporeal thing. Right? Standing is a corporeal thing. Shechina represents a non-corporeality. So the Shechina, v'shachanti b'seichem, I dwell there. But it's a dwelling in a non-corporeal, non-tangible, non-physical way. And so there are two details, two important dimensions of this Mishkan. Shnei and Yonin Shav Mishkan. There's the Mishkan Stam, there's just the Mishkan, and then there's the Mishkan Ha'edos. And these represent two madregas, two levels in Shechina. There's when the Shechina is there, and then when the Shechina is there, as a testimony. So there's Mishkan, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, the Mishkan, meaning the Shechina. And then there's Mishkan Ha'edos, the Shechina, as it serves as a testimony. Two different kind of Mishkanot, if you will, or two dimensions in the Mishkan. This is in the language of Chassidus, that for this particular explanation evokes the language of Kabbalah. Shechinta Tata'a v'Shechinta Ilah. A lower level of Shechina, Tata'a is Aramaic for Tachton, and Ilah is Aramaic for Elyon, a higher form of Shechina and a lower form of Shechina. So just about everything can be experienced in multiple levels. A person can be here physically, but their mind could be somewhere else. So they're here physically, but they weren't here at all. And then a person could not only be here physically, but they could be present, but they're not here in a hyper-present way. They're here, kind of. They're not here. But then sometimes you're there, 100%. Your every faculty is engaged. You're 100% focused. People who do very intense jobs, when they're there, they're on 100%. They're not doing it kind of halfway. There's a part of the brain that takes over when we do things that we're used to doing. There's a part of the brain that actually tells us what to do in a kind of a subconscious way. It's like when you drive somewhere on a daily basis, you don't even think about what you're doing anymore, yep. Which is pretty scary.
Yes, it is.
Right? Some people say when you have Shemoneh Esrei on a daily basis, you have no idea how you got to the last bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. You probably did say the words. And then there's sometimes when you're doing something of great importance, something which requires enormous effort because you got to get this right. You have one chance. You're like a surgeon's doing surgery. You know somebody's life is right again. And you better hope that surgeon, he's 100% hyper-focused. Yeah.
Last 2 minutes of the Super Bowl.
The last 2 minutes of the Super Bowl. Okay, very good. Everybody's there 100%. So this is maybe like a metaphor for two levels of Shekhinah. The Shekhinah Tatal is like being there. My mind is there. I'm engaged. I'm involved. I'm there. Not just physically. I'm there. And then the Shekhinah Law. I'm really there. Like I'm there. I'm invested 100%. So what does that mean? What does it mean practically speaking? So the Rebbe, interesting, it takes this away from simply the notion of God's presence being there in a manifest way, Shekhinah, or in a super manifest way. And he kind of moves this onto not just the Beis HaMikdash, but God's presence as it would find itself in our life, in our reality. V'al pi ha'yidua. So now we move. This is an idea. The Rebbe takes this idea now, moves a lateral move now. V'al pi ha'yidua, based on this idea, shekol echad mi Yisrael, hu mishkan u'migdash, that every member of the nation of Israel is likened or metaphorized as both a mishkan and a migdash for Hashem, la yisbarach. U'kamay mirazal, as per the famous teaching of our rabbis, al piva asu li migdash, you should make for me a migdash, that's singular, v'shachanti b'tocham, and I will dwell amongst them, where there seems to be an obvious contradiction between the singular language and the plural language. V'asu li migdash, li is singular, v'shachanti b'tocham, but I will dwell amongst them. God asks for one migdash, one mishkan, but he dwells amongst them, so to speak, in many migdashot. What does that mean? And the answer that our rabbis gave is b'toch kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. It means that God dwells amidst each and every member of Am Yisrael. Now, on a simple level, this means that when God dwells in the mishkan or migdash, ultimately God dwells within our hearts and minds as well, by virtue of the migdash. By dint of the Beis HaMikdash, it is through the mechanism, the vehicle of the Beis HaMikdash, through that envelope, we all have the Shekhinah amongst us. That's on a very literal level what it means. But from a perspective of Avodas Hashem, of the efforts we're supposed to make to be able to serve Hashem, the efforts we're supposed to make to serve as a receptacle, as a vehicle, if you will, for Hashem's presence ourselves, so then there's an actual obligation that we should create within ourselves. We should make a space within ourselves for Hashem's presence to dwell within amongst us. It's not just a matter of fact, if you make me a migdash, I will dwell amongst them. The migdash means that doesn't only mean that God dwells in the Beis HaMikdash, in a place, and through that place in every one of us, but ultimately in Avodas Hashem it means that God should dwell within every one of us, and that is our responsibility. That's our doing. We have to make that happen. So if this is the case, and we accept that it is, it's already well-established precedent. So the Rebbe now adds a very interesting detail. If it's true that every one of us becomes a receptacle for Hashem's presence, every one of us becomes a microcosm of a mishkan or a migdash, and if the migdash has two dimensions, Shekhinah Ilah and Shekhinah Tata, a higher level of Shekhinah and a lower level of Shekhinah, so if so, then the Shnei HaInyanim Shebe Migdash, the Mishkan stam, and the Mishkan ha'edos, the Mishkan without any kind of appellation or any kind of further description. And then the Mishkan, the way it's described as the Mishkan of Eidos, him gam b'mishkan, the Yisrael. That also has to be in the Mishkan that is us. There also has to be. We can be a Mishkan, or we can be a Mishkan ha'edos. And that's, I guess, a choice that we have to make also. How much of a Mishkan do you want to be? How much of a Mishkan, the B'teich Kol Echad V'Echad, are you and I ready to be? Will we be simply a Mishkan? Or will we choose to also be a Mishkan Ha'edus? What does that mean? V'alpi Ma'amir Hazal, and based on the saying of our sages, which this is found in Yalkut Shemayni and in various other places, Ala Pasuk Mishkan Ha'edus. Now, what is the meaning of Mishkan Ha'edus? And the answer is, it means a testimony, Eidosi, that the Mishkan serves as a testimony, L'chol Bayi Ha'olam, to all of those who, so to speak, come. All comers of the world is literally how that translates. I mean, all those who come and go. All of humanity. It serves as an Eidos, as a testimony for humanity. Humanity is called Bayi Ha'olam. Why? What is the testimony for humanity? Testimony that what? Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Nisratz LiYisrael. That God has become reconciled with Israel. After the sin of the golden calf, we were on the outs. Our relationship was on the rocks. And then, Baruch Hashem, we were able to rehabilitate that relationship. God re-engages with us. And what is the testimony? How can you know that God has re-engaged with the Jewish people? The answer is they could know it from the Mishkan. Because if there was a Mishkan, if they built this little mobile home as per the instructions of God, and then the Shekhinah, the presence of God, was manifested to the point that they actually could see something, as we learned yesterday. So then this was a testimony. People said, oh, the Jewish people, they're good with God. God is with them. How do we know? But Mishkan. Isn't it obvious? So that's the meaning of Mishkan Eidos. So the Rebbe says, so based on this idea, then how would we say that a person can be a Mishkan or a Mishkan Eidos? That a person can house, if you will, the presence of God, or he or she can house the presence of God to the point that people can point, to the point that they can point the finger, to the point that they can say, oh, you could see that the presence of God dwells amongst this person. What does that mean? We have a halo? We have a cloud that follows us? I mean, I've seen people with a cloud around them, but it's not an evidence of the Shekhinah. It may be evidence of narcotics, but it's not a... So what does it mean? So the Rebbe says that this means that a Yid can bring the Shekhinah into his life in one of two ways. And what are those? Yesh Leimar, this is a Chiddush, this is like a new idea that the Rebbe shared with us. The Zeshi Yisrael Hei Mishkan, the fact that we could be a Mishkan, which means that the presence of God could be manifest within us. What does that mean, practically speaking? Sounds very lofty, poetic, spiritual, and beautiful. What does it mean, practically speaking? What does it mean to be a Migdash? What does it mean to be a Mishkan? So are you a Mishkan today? I don't know. Am I a Mishkan? Are you a Mishkan? What is the difference in a day when we're a Mishkan for Hashem or a day when we're not a Mishkan for Hashem? The answer to that question is simply that this is accomplished and affected through Ha'avodah, the Torah of Mitzvahs. When we learn Torah, then we are housing the wisdom of God, the will of God. When we perform Mitzvahs, we're doing what God wants us to do. So when we become the vehicle, the extension, through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence becomes manifest in this world, His will becomes manifest in this world, that doesn't mean that there's a cloud, that there's a fire, that you see angels or some flapping of wings. That's all ridiculous. That's ascribing corporeality and literality to things that are neither corporeal nor literal. It doesn't make any sense. It's just pure narishkeit. But if we believe that there's a God, and we do, and we believe that God actually created this world and it's not some kind of cosmic freak accident, we do, and that God, who created the world, choreographed specific and exact and precise for a purpose. What was the purpose? So the answer is we can't figure this out ourselves. Pretty silly to say, okay, figure it out. We believe God created the world for a purpose. We have no idea what the purpose is, of course. But yeah, it's like, you know, make it up as you go along. That's a non-starter. People don't even know, they don't understand each other. Lots of people don't even understand themselves. People become psychologists, figure themselves out. Half the people become psychologists. So they don't even know, I don't even know what I want. I can't even figure out who I am. I should know what God wants. How many times a person says, what do you want? I don't even know what I want. So I don't know what I want, but I know what God wants. It's a non-starter. How could you know what God wants? How could you profess to know what God wants? There's only one way. If God told you. Guess what? He did. Really? Yeah. It's called the Torah of Mitzvahs. Oh my, look, I didn't know that. A lot of people, it's never thought about it that way. That's what Torah of Mitzvahs is God telling us what he wants. He said, this is what I want from you. Today is Rosh Chodesh. I want you to do special things in Rosh Chodesh. That's what I want from you. So when a Yid goes ahead and does special things in Rosh Chodesh, what happens? Those things are happening in this world through you. So when they happen in this world through you, then you become a Mishkan. And that means to be a Mishkan for Hashem. So then there's another kind of Mishkan. What can be more than Torah of Mitzvahs? What's even more than Torah of Mitzvahs? What's even more of a proof that we are God's eternal people? What's even more of a proof is the Aveda, the Rebbe says, Mishkan Ha'edas is Ayideh Aveda's HaTshuva. When we do tshuva, that's the sign that we're really connected to Hashem. Why? So first of all, not sure, but this is what I think. Because if a person, how do you know that a relationship is really solid? When the relationship was tried and tested and brought back, then you know it's for real. It's like it said, when did we become a real nation? When we were exiled, they came back to Israel. That's when we became a real nation. Because there were many nations who rose, nations, and then they were sacked and destroyed by some foreign army, and they simply faded away. That's historic. That's common. That's predictable. What's unpredictable and unprecedented is a nation being destroyed and vanquished, and seven decades later, regrouping and coming back to their original homeland. That never happened. Never. There are no ancient Egyptians. There are no ancient Greeks. There are no ancient Phoenicians. None of these peoples are here. I mean, they didn't disappear into thin air. There are people walking around who have those genetics. But that nation, per se, no longer exists. So the notion that we, as a nation, have been able to, if you will, fall away, to depart the fold, and yet come back to the fold, that's the greatest proof. That's the sign, that's the testimony that we're really Hashem's children. That's when it becomes real. So Avodas HaTshuva, that's Mishkan HaEdus. And therefore, we have to bring the Shechina into our lives, and there's two ways we do this. A little child is brought up in an environment of holiness, doing holy things, behaving in a holy way. They're a Mishkan. They're doing everything right. And then maybe they become a teenager, and then they're not so bad, not behaving so nice. And maybe they fall away. Or maybe they stop thinking about God. And then at a certain point in life, they're able to bounce back. So then it wasn't just some nurturing as a child, then it was real. So the idea of the tshuva, that's Mishkan HaEdus. And the Rebbe suggests this is the Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaMishkan, the two kinds of Avodas Hashem, which incidentally, that's how our sages summed up life. So life's about tshuva or ma'isim tovim. You have to do good things, but a sense of tshuva. So that sense of yearning to be closer to Hashem, that sense of dissatisfaction with the status quo, and be ready to throw off the shackles, shake off the dust, and return and restore that which once was Avodas HaTshuva, this is the real Mishkan HaEdus. And that's what Hashem's expectation of us is, Eilep Kudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, that we have to personalize this, understand that we can and therefore must be a dwelling place, a vehicle, an envelope for Hashem's presence, and that it comes in these two different dimensions. These are some mystical Mishkan morsels from a much, much longer edited Maimer, but under the circumstances, that's what we got for today. Good Chodesh, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Thanks for joining us. And let's hope we hear and share the best of news that the Shechina is not only amongst us in a personal way, in a microcosmic way, but in a cosmic way, Meretz Hashem, that the Shechina should be in Yerushalayim, in the third Beis HaMikdash, Bemheira, Ubi Ameinu. Amen.